Okay, well, there's quite a few references to peace in the Ephesians reading, but my text is Romans 5:1. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been watching the news at all, or listened to it, the British ambassador to Washington has been in a bit of bother lately with emails condemning President Trump. Now, some of you would remember 25 years ago, I think it was, or a long time ago anyway, in early December in Washington, one of the American journalists got in touch with the British ambassador to ask him, what would you like for Christmas? And rather flattered and wanting to be polite, he said, oh, I don't really need anything, but there is a particular brand of mint sauce I would like to have if you're going to get me something, something small. Anyway, weeks went by, it was Christmas Eve. The ambassador is in his residence, slumped before the TV with his family. It's Christmas Eve, and the same journalist comes on TV and says, I've asked a few of the ambassadors what they'd like for Christmas. The French ambassador said he would really like a strong NATO so there would be peace in Europe. The German ambassador said he'd like us to have strong diplomatic relations with Iran so there'd be peace in the Middle East. So the French ambassador wants peace, and the German ambassador wants peace, and the British ambassador wanted a jar of mint sauce. So it didn't sound so good then. But my text is, we have peace with God. A couple of weeks ago, Nadal played a fella called Nick Kyrgios from Australia. Brilliant match, apparently, and apparently no love lost between the two of them. A grudge match, no peace. The question, why did Jesus die on the cross, is an easy answer, simple answer, to save sinners. But when you look at what saved means, you have forgiven all my sins, place in heaven, Holy Spirit indwelling, but also peace with God. In order for you and me to have peace with God, something so stupendous had to happen. The Son of God, who'd always been at peace with his Father, somehow, in some astonishing way, that peace was ruptured. So that, and not because Jesus had done anything wrong, but because we had done things wrong. In fact, because we were wrong. And somehow, in some miraculous way, when Jesus is on the cross and he calls out to his Father, my God, there is no answer. There is no peace. There's no peace for Jesus on the cross. There is no peace there. So that we can have peace. That was the only way for us to have peace with God. And only after Jesus has atoned for sin can he then triumphantly shout, finished. And now there's peace again. The question is, have you got peace with God? See, we still sin, and yet it is possible, though we still sin, it's possible for somebody sitting here this morning to know that Almighty God has decreed once for all, I'm at peace with you now forever. That's the way it's going to be. We're always going to be at peace. If you are joined by faith to Jesus Christ, then God Almighty says, there is now peace between him and you. The war is over. He was right to be angry with us. He was right to be at war with us because of our sin. But because Jesus has taken away our sin, we are now at peace forever. And you notice in the text, we are having been justified by faith. We have. Notice, he doesn't say, well, maybe, possibly, or you will have one day. He says, we have. So it's possible not just to cross your fingers and hope for the best when you die. It's possible to know that you have peace now. Some of you have got it. And you know it. Some of you maybe have got it and you're not sure that you got it. And some of you, you haven't got it perhaps, and I don't know what you think, whether you want it, or whether you don't even know whether it's possible or not. You know, a couple of weeks ago was the big Glastonbury rock festival, the biggest in the world, apparently. Now, when I was a teenager, I remember the big festival that everybody talked about was Woodstock, about 1968 or thereabouts in America, and this brilliant new guitarist, Jimi Hendrix, on stage, crowds captivated, even brilliant guitarists who were, you know, rock legends were saying this is the best young guitarist we've ever seen. And then in between a song, he shouts to the crowd, Is there anybody out there who can give me peace? If you can, come backstage. And do you know how many people came backstage to offer him peace? None. Nobody. Not one. Nobody could help. Would you have been able to help if you'd been in the crowd? If somebody had, you know, you went to some function somewhere and somebody, even though they were doing something else, they suddenly paused and said, "Oh, I need peace with God. Is anybody, can you help? Would you have been able to help?" I once met a guy, Glenn. He was a very interesting guy. He had robbed a bank, armed robbery, and fled to Australia. Robbed a bank in England, fled to Australia, and lived a life of luxury with a new identity. He had a fake passport and all that. And for 5 or 6 years, he was living this life of luxury. And then one Saturday morning, he was cleaning his car. He heard an English accent. A policeman had followed him all the way, tracked him for 5 or 6 years, arrested him, and came back to the UK, and he did about 10 years in prison. But this is what Glenn told me. Glenn became a Christian many years later. But he told me this. He said, "In all those 5 or 6 years, I never had one good night's rest. I was always worried. I had no peace. I was worried, are they going to come? Is it going to be now? Is it going to be tomorrow?" Well, the Lord God Almighty doesn't need to go looking for you and me. He knows, the Bible says, he knows where you go. He knows when you get up. He knows when you sit down. He knows where you live. He knows us. He daily knows the precise numbers of hairs on our heads. So the question is, are you at peace with God? Are you like that fella yesterday who said, "I never thought before. I never thought about things I've done before." Well, you need to think, because you're going to stand before God. And you need to be at peace now. Because no point in standing before God and then hoping for the best then. There'll be no chance then. You'll stand before him naked, exposed. He'll scrutinize your whole life. It's a terrifying prospect, isn't it? But he offers peace now. I had a mate, Tony Howarth, his name was. He'd been a missionary in Thailand. He came home to do some extra theological training, which is when I met him in 1990. And he was working in the New Tribes Mission in Matlock, Derbyshire. And I had a letter from him one day to say that he wasn't feeling well. He'd gone to the doctor. It was terminal cancer. All they could offer was palliative care. He was like 45. And I was preaching in Yorkshire. I managed to do like a 140-mile round trip or something to try and visit him on a Sunday afternoon, hoping that I'd be able to see him, and having a hunch probably never see him after this. It'd be my one chance. I remember when I got there, his hair had gone just white. 45, he was like white. He'd lost so much weight, I wouldn't have recognized him, except his wife let me in, and there he was. But you know, he had peace with God. It was a remarkable time. Absolutely miraculous, supernatural, the power. I'd seen people healed physically. I'd never seen the power, that power of God in a person. Even though physically they weren't healed, the body was just shutting down, falling apart. But I'd never seen that power. Peace with God. The Muslim doctor said, "I've never seen anybody die like this." Don't you want to be like that? The Apostle Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain." That can't be right, can it? To die is gain. That's not modern way of thinking, is it? Death's to be avoided. We don't even want to think about it, don't want to talk about it. We go to a funeral, people don't even talk about death at the funeral. You come outside of a funeral, people talk about anything. And here's the Apostle Paul, and here was an ordinary guy from Bolton, and they knew they had peace with God. They knew it. And it showed. Within the next 12 months, I had two friends who were in their 30s die. Both had peace with God. Absolutely. You can't describe it. The power that's in a person who knows they're going to be dead soon, a few days, and yet it's all right. It's all right. Don't you want that? That's why Jesus lived and died. and rose again so that people like you and me could have peace with God. Have you got it? So you'll be able to look death in the eye when death comes and say, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting? You don't frighten me anymore. Some of you know when I was a student, I got trapped upside down in a canoe, almost drowned. The panic, I can still remember the panic, absolutely terrified. And I was right to be scared, because I would have, had I died then, I'd have stood before the Lord without a savior. And the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God, a fearful, a terrible thing. I read this week in Jeremiah 44, where the Lord says to these people that he's watching over them. Oh, that sounds nice. But he says, I'm watching over you for harm, not for good. Is he doing that now with you? Is he watching over you for harm? Have you ever worried about what's going to happen the following week or the following day? Because you're not sure there's a possibility of bad news. Have you ever lay in bed and you got a hunch that something's going to happen the following day and you're not sure how it's going to go and you can't sleep? Have you ever been like that, worried? And sometimes you worry all night and the following day, actually, there was no need to worry. It goes great. But this is uncertainty. You will stand before God on your own. I won't be there when you stand before God. You won't be there when I stand before God. Nobody's going to stand and read some nice things about me. God knows me. He's the only one who knows me. You don't even know me. About 45 years ago, on a different issue now, not a spiritual thing at all, a friend of mine was really worried about something, and I reassured him, there's no need to worry, it'll be fine. And it wasn't fine. And the pain that my casual attitude caused him, when I said, it'll be fine, don't worry about it, the pain was enormous. And spiritually, I would never, ever tell people, don't worry about it. You need to worry. You need to worry until you've got peace with God. If you haven't got peace with God, then you need to keep banging on the door and asking God. See, you don't have to be terrified facing death. It doesn't have to be like that. Richard Wurmbrand in Romania, in the 60s and 70s, was tortured. They threatened all sorts of things. They stubbed their fags out on him. They broke his ribs and whatever. They buried him underground. They did all those terrible things to him. And they just to try and get him to deny Jesus. And he said to them, you know, when you're a Christian, he said, life and death are the same. He didn't care. There was nothing he could do to him. He knew he had peace with God. It didn't matter whether he lived or died. Didn't make any difference. Or old Chrysostom before the emperor, 3rd century, deny Christ or I'll banish you. Chrysostom answers, where can I flee from his spirit? Well, deny Christ or I'll confiscate your money and your possessions. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Then I'll execute you. My life is hid with Christ in God. There's nothing you can do to me. Now, there's a person who knows. They've got peace. They got it now. Have you got it now? It's a miracle. But it's a miracle that's on offer now. That's the thing. It's on offer now. I can't give it to you, but God can. Do you want it? Amen. We're going to sing.